Our Father, as we come before you this morning, our hearts are heavy, as they have been all week, with the hearing of the passing of our dear brother, laborer in the gospel. Lord, I pray that you'd be with his family, his church. Give grace, Lord. They need you now. We pray for those who are suffering with cancer and taking treatment, Sister Michelle, Brother Frank, Brother Paul. Lord, be with them. Bless them, Lord, according to your will. Thy will be done, Father. Bless all you men today that stand to preach the glorious gospel of your Son. Empower them. Use them for your glory, for your worthy. If you have your Bible this morning, open it with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, the third chapter. Need your prayers this morning. Tired and body, I don't feel all that great, but the Lord's able to sustain us in time of need. Colossians, the third chapter, and I want to begin reading in verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 8, where we find these words. But now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Now this last clause is where I want to take my text this morning. But Christ is all and in all. The title of the message is Christ is all. Did you notice that? But Christ is all and in all. This morning, as I preach this message, by the help of the Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would use me for God's glory. We need to ask ourselves the question, is Christ our all? Is he your all personally? What does the name of Jesus Christ mean to you? To some, the name of Jesus Christ means very little or nothing at all. The only time they ever use it is when they're cursing or swearing. They've heard of his name. They have no idea who he is. And that name means nothing to them at all. To some people, the name of Jesus Christ means a great deal. But he's not their all. These religious people celebrate his name at Christmas with Santa Claus and Christmas trees. They celebrate his death on Easter, but they mix in egg hunts, bunny rabbits, and who knows what else. These people are very sincere people. They're church members. They tithe. They work in the church. Do everything they possibly can for the furtherance of the church. Some are teachers. Some are preachers. Some are singers. But Christ is not all to them. This crowd has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. A fire escape from hell. They know nothing of His rule in their life. They know nothing about walking holy before the Lord. They know nothing of the sinfulness of their nature. They live like they please, do like they please. They're going to heaven when they die because they accepted the proposition, prayed the sinner's prayer, and were told by either the personal worker or the preacher or the evangelist that they were saved, ready to go to heaven, and when they die, Jesus will be there. But He's never been there all. They've used Him as a fire escape from hell. They've used Him as a milk cow. They get in trouble and they need Him. They call on Him. He's their co-pilot. It irks me to the grave every time I see that bumper sticker. God is my co-pilot. They don't know anything about the sweet rule of Jesus Christ. They don't know anything about that yoke that Jesus talked about. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your soul. And the sum, and this is the crowd that I want to be found in. The sum, Jesus Christ is their everything. Their everything. In Him we live and we move and we have our being. I can identify with Simeon of old. Can't you? Luke 2, 29 and 30. When Mary and Joseph brought that infant to Jerusalem, Simeon saw that youngin' and he knew right away. In fact, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's right. And one day Simeon saw him, held him in his arms. You know what he said? He said, "Lord, I'm ready to die now." Why, Simeon? Why are you ready to die now? You know what he said? "I have seen the Lord." Christ was all to him. He was all to him. I can identify with Mary as she's sitting there at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was cumbered about with many things. She's running here and there trying to get this right. She's fussing, trying to get that right. And she gets aggravated to the extent with Mary, and she's upset. She even told the Lord about it. She said, "Lord, tell my sister to help me. I'm I'm doing all this by myself. You know what Jesus said to Martha? Martha, Martha. One of these days, if the Lord will let me, I'm going to preach a message on when God speaks twice. He said to her, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things. But Mary has chosen that part which shall not be taken away from her. Where was Mary? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, looking into his face. To Mary, Christ was all. Christ was all. You know, many people today they talk about the name of Jesus. They say, well, I believe in Jesus. My question is, which one? People sing today, oh, how I love Jesus. Which Jesus are you talking about? You say, preacher, there's only one Jesus. That's right. There's only one true Jesus. But I've found, and so have you, that many people who say they love Jesus have no idea who the real Jesus is. The issue today and the issue that has always been is who is Jesus. That was the issue back in the days when Jesus walked on this earth. That was the issue in the days of the early church as they preached the gospel. You by wicked hands have crucified and slain, but God raised him from the dead. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus, that one, who you crucified and slain. You know what God's done? He's exalted him, given him a name that's above every name. And he's now both Lord and Christ. He sits on a throne. The Jesus that people worship today is not a Jesus, not the Jesus that sits on the throne. But he's a Jesus that would like to help people and would like to save people, but he can't. Would like to do something, but he can't unless we give him permission. This is the Jesus that I'm preaching to you about. The one that's exalted. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you love him? I tell you what, we love him because he loved us first. And if he hadn't have loved us first, no way we could love him. The Apostle Paul knew Christ was all. Christ was his all. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But now wait a minute, Paul, you were a learned man. You were a smart man. You were known by everybody. You were well known. You know what Paul said about that? He said, I count everything but dung that I may win Christ. Christ was his all. That's right. He was his all. Did you know that Christ was all to the Father? He was. He was all to the Father. Turn to Hebrews 1. I want to show you something. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." Worship him. John 5:20, Jesus said this, "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands." Matthew chapter 3, when John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus, the scripture said the Spirit came descending in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven was heard. You know what that voice said? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." If you expect to participate in the love of God, you're going to have to be in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is life. There's no life outside of Jesus Christ. All of the blessings are in Christ. All the blessings are in him. Yea and amen. Is Christ your all? Is he? Is he your all? In the days of the early church, many people wanted to mix law and grace. And they said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." To these people, Christ was not their all. When you mix law and grace, Christ is not your all. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, that we might be justified by faith. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, "For I am determined with every fiber of my being not to know anything among you save a person, Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified." Paul said, "That's what I'm preaching. That's the message that needs to be preached. And every, listen to me, every doctrinal truth in the Scripture flows from the cross." That's right. That's right. God's people can't get enough of that kind of preaching. They love the preaching of the gospel. They love to hear how before the foundation of the world, God chose a people for himself. And he did that not based on any works that he saw in us. He did that not based on foreseen faith, but he did it because it pleased him. He chose a people. But listen to me. He chose these people in his Son. That's right. In his Son. Christ is all. They can't get enough of it. You say, "Preacher, I know we're supposed to preach Christ, but..." No buts. No buts. "I know Christ is salvation, but..." No. No buts. It's Christ. Christ is all. That's what we're supposed to preach. That's what I'm preaching here. That's the only thing on the menu here. Is Christ is all. Christ is all. You say, preacher, there's other subjects that need to be preached on. Christ is all. He's all. Not under the law anymore. We're under grace. All those ordinances were nailed to the cross. Jesus paid the ransom for us. Christ is all. If you're not preaching Christ, if you're preaching law, if you're preaching you got to do this and you got to do that, if you're preaching, I know Christ is all, but we need this kind of preaching and we need that kind of preaching, what you're telling me is Christ is not your all. Christ is all. That's right. I heard a man the other day, and it really sickened me. He preached an entire sermon, the whole sermon, on transgenderism. The whole sermon. Never mentioned the name of Christ. Never mentioned. You say, preacher, aren't you against that? Oh, absolutely. Positively, yes. But that's not the message that we're supposed to preach. Some people go great lengths to preach against homosexuality. I've heard entire messages preached on homosexuality. You say, preacher, aren't you against it? Absolutely. But that's not the message. Not the message. The message is Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. These things got to get preached against. Let me give you an illustration. And this is a true illustration. 100 years ago, the fundamentalist, Billy Sunday, was one of the biggest that did this. They preached against alcohol so hard. Him and a lot of the other fundamentalist preachers, they preached against alcohol so hard that it forced Congress to pass the Prohibition Act. Did that stop people from drinking? No. It unleashed one of the most wicked decades of violent crime and avarice and greed that's ever been known. The more law you put on a man, the more he's going to rebel. Now you know that's right. You say, preacher, what's the answer? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You preach that, you preach the gospel, and all this other stuff gonna take care of itself. When people get born again, that'll bring that to a screeching halt. Oh, God, give us men today who will preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and nothing else. Suppose you preach against all these things I've mentioned, homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, and any other thing you want to find out. Suppose you get them to quit. What are you going to do then? Doesn't change their heart. Just because they quit sinning, it ain't going to change their heart. Only God can do that. And only the preaching of the gospel and the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost will ever change a man. And you won't have to worry about these other things. What do you feel? It's Christ. It's Christ and Him crucified. Christ is all. Let me give you a few points and I'm going to go ahead. If Christ is all, where was He before the world was? If He's all. If He's all, that means He's everything. He's everything. Where was He Before the world was. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, whenever that was. I've heard people argue and fuss and rare about when the beginning was. I don't know when the beginning was, and I don't know anybody that does. The secret things belong to the Lord, right? The revealed things belong to us. I'm busy trying to find out, Hector, what's been revealed to me. I ain't going to worry about the secret things. I just leave them with the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word, capital W, was God. And the Word, capital W, was with God. He's from eternity to eternity. In John 17:5, when he prayed to his Father, he said, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. He was there. He was there. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the great I am. Turn to Proverbs 8. We'll show you something. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Oh, and I guess I believe I want to start reading in verse 22 where it says this. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depths, and when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is all. He's all. Where was he in creation? Colossians 1:16, 17 says this, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Christ is all. Christ is all. Where was he in the fall? Where was he when Adam fell? Where was he when Adam sinned, the cataclysmic change happened on this earth? Where was he? I'll tell you where he was. In Genesis 3:15, we have a preview of the cross, where God said to Satan, I'm going to do it. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's a picture of Calvary. There's a picture of the cross. Christ is all. He's all. Where was he when 400 silent years had passed between Malachi and Matthew, and nobody, no prophet, nobody heard from God? Where was he? One day, there was a star in the sky. And it was so bright, so wonderful, that they remembered the words of the Lord. One day the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and the next thing we know, she's found with child of the Holy Ghost. And the angel split the skies. What a sight it must have been to behold that. He said, "Fear not! I bring you tidings of great joy. That's going to be to all people." Okay, what is it? "For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. "Oh, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Christ is all. Let me give you this in application before I quit. Best I know how. I was born on March 29th, 1957. In Hinsdale Hospital, DuPage County, Hinsdale, Illinois. It was at that moment at 12:16 a.m., according to my mom, that I came into being physically. But you know, listen to me now. But I existed in the mind of God way before that. In the mind of God, his purpose and covenant, which Jesus Christ is the surety, and he's the blood of that covenant. The scriptures said about me and you that he hath chosen us in him. When? Not when I was born in 1957. But before the foundation of the world. You say, "Preacher, explain that to me." Boy, I wish I could. I really wish I could. I really wish I could dive into the depths of that, into the deep of that, and just unravel it and tell you all about it, but I can't do it. All I can do is bow to it, because I know it's the Word of God. And Christ is all. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Christ is all. He saw nothing in me that would cause him to choose me. I was rotten, no good, ungodly. I was a religious nut. I was a fundamentalist. I dotted every I and crossed every T. I was a rebel in God's sight. But he watched over me. Yeah. He took care of me. Let me show you something in Hebrews 1:13. You got to see this. I didn't see this till the other day. Well, it made me rejoice. Hebrews 1, verse 13 says this. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" And referring to angels in verse 14, he says this. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall?" Who shall? Who shall be the heirs of salvation? There are many times in my life that you could have just put a hair between me in death before God saved me. But God watched over me. These angels were there. Oh, what wondrous mercy. What wondrous mercy. What amazing grace. In Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5, you know what God said to Jeremiah? You can turn to it if you want to. It should be familiar to you. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I knew you. And before you were even brought forth, I ordained you. And sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nation. I'm telling you, Christ is all. He's all. And one day, what God foreknew, what God chose for me in eternity was brought to pass in time. One day He revealed His Son in me. And to this the Apostle Paul agreed. Paul said, when He revealed His Son in me, when does that happen? When God gets ready. When God gets ready. Every single, listen to me, every single person who has been chosen before the foundation of the world, their salvation will be brought to pass in they may be 20 years old. They may be 30. They may be 40. They may be 50. They may be in their 60s. They may be in their 70s. Abraham, 75 years old when God revealed Himself to him. That's right. But whenever God gets ready, He'll reveal Himself. Christ is all. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Let me close with this. Is Christ your all? Is He enough? Or do you have to have something else? Are you like the Jews in the days of the early church? You want to add circumcision to salvation? You want to add law to salvation? If you do, Christ is not your all. Is He your all? Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, as we come before You, Lord, I pray that You'd be pleased to open understanding today. Make Yourself known. Lord, for in You we live and we move and we have our being. We can do nothing without You. Speak to hearts now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.